2020 has been a great year, hasn't it? That was a joke. Right now, life seems to be driven by interruptions and disasters. And speaking of interruptions, I'm interrupting my own sermon series. Started a new series last week only to stop it this week and bring in a new season of Hot Topics. Come on, everybody say Hot Topics. Oh, you are awake. I just want to make sure this morning. All right. I know Hot Topics. There are a lot of issues, a lot of stuff that's really important that's affecting a lot of people. And we're going to be dealing with issues that everybody's thinking about, but maybe not everybody wants to talk about. So we're going to talk about those. The series guaranteed to make you uncomfortable while you sit and sweat in your seat. Those kind of Hot Topics. And if you have a hot topic, a question, a struggle, a concern, I want to hear from you. So write that on your red card. That'll be confidential just between you and me. But if you have a hot topic that you'd like us to address in this series, I would love to hear from you. Okay, but today, Pastor Yareen and I, we're going to be talking about racism and the church. Aren't you excited to be here today? All right. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, the Bible says this. From one man, God made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. Aren't you glad for that? For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are great and you are God and you are still on the throne. We thank you, Lord, that you are greater than all that we see going on around us, God. We thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. God, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, for the freedom we have in Jesus. We thank you for this wonderful family of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would use Pastor Yareen and I, God, to speak your word today with truth, power, authority, and most of all with love. Change us and shape us into the people you want us to be and unite us under the banner of Jesus, we pray in your mighty name. Amen. Well, let me tell you about Bobby and Bubba. Bobby and Bubba. Bobby and Bubba were best friends their whole lives. Bobby thought Jesus was black, and Bubba thought Jesus was white. And they argued back and forth for years and years and years, and it just so happens that Bobby and Bubba died on the same day, and they got to heaven at the same time. And as they were walking through the pearly gates, old Bubba elbowed Bobby and said, "You about to find out I'm right." And Bobby elbowed Bubba back and said, "You about to find out I'm right." And about that time, Jesus walked up and said, "Buenos dias." It turns out it was Jesus. The Bible says we're all made in the image of God. Amen. Well, today in our sermon, we've got, you know, Pastor Yareen and I, we're tag teaming, so we got a reverse Oreo going on today. Is that, can I say that? Can I say that in church? I didn't say that at 9:30. But we got a reverse Oreo going, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a God thing. But Pastor Yareen had this idea. He said, why don't we make our sermon points say PPE? Because that's what everybody's trying to get to keep them safe, to protect them. He said, you know, this sermon today is going to protect people. It's for their safety. We're going to deal with some stuff that's going to help some folks. So that's our, those are our 3 points today, PPE. Come on, y'all say PPE. All right. Some of y'all look nervous. I didn't say P-E. I said P-P-E. Okay? And if all you heard was P-P-E, the bathrooms are right out there. But that's our 3 points, P-P-E. And the first point is people. Come on, y'all say people. This is what you need to know. All people are made in God's image. All people. Okay? People of every color are made in the image of God. And if you're racist, this is really going to mess you up because, in fact, we're all related. Come on, look with me at Acts 17, 26. This is the Apostle Paul debating the Greek philosophers at Mars Hill in ancient Athens. This is what he says, Acts 17, 26. From one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And as some of your own Greek poets have said, we are his offspring. So we just read that God made all nations from one man. Now, I'm no mathematician, but you do the math. All nations, one man. That means that we're all related. You get that? Are you with me? We're all descended from Adam, so we're all part of the Adams family, if you will. We're all related. We're all one big, dysfunctional, messed up family. And whenever I'm filling out a form and it asks me for my race, I kind of laugh because I just want to write human being. Because really, there's only one race. It's the human race. And I love that my six-year-old, he understands this concept because he just calls people humans. Like, we were riding down the road the other day, and he looked out the window and said, "Look, Daddy, those humans have a trampoline just like me." I'm like, "There you go, son, just humans. We're all humans." Come on, say that with me. We're all humans. Hudson's going to like that you said it like that. Thank you. Okay, if we go back far enough, we're all related, and we're all family. So look at somebody sitting near you and tell them, "I'm related to you." Bad day to bring your boyfriend to church. Okay, I better not talk too much about my West Virginia side. Grandma and Grandpa were cousins, but it's all right. I don't have any issues. True fact. Seriously, there's one race of people. Yeah, you want to know why I'm so weird? Okay, there you go. All right. Seriously, there's one race of people, and we all belong to that race, the human race. We just read Acts 17:26, "From one man he made all nations." And the King James Version says it like this: "God hath made of one blood all nations of men." We're all related to one another. We all have the same origin. And let me just talk about the issue of skin color. Okay, we're the same, not only are we the same race, not only are we all related, but the way I see it, we're all just different shades of the same color. What color is that? Genesis 2:7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Okay, we're all different shades of dirt. Okay? Before you go thinking you're all such and much, let me inform you that somewhere in this world there is a mud puddle that matches your complexion. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God made us from dirt. Okay, the last time I preached on this verse, I had a guy text me after church, "Great sermon, dirtbag." I said, "Thank you, you paid attention, I'll take that," all right? But we're all dirtbags apart from the breath of God, amen? If it wasn't for the breath of God inside of us, we'd all be a pile of dirt. And let me talk about skin for a little bit. Did you know that we all basically have the same skin? Okay? Did you know that if I get burned and I need a skin graft and Pastor Yareen is feeling generous, okay, and donate some of his skin to me, they can put his skin on my body and my body will heal using his skin? Okay, even though our skin may be different colors, different shades, it's the same skin because skin is skin is skin. It's a medical fact. The only difference between he and I is that God blessed him with more melanin than he blessed me with. Okay? Isn't it funny how people who don't have a lot of melanin will pay a lot of money to have a spray tan to make it look like they got melanin? Isn't that something? And Michael Jackson did the opposite. But anyway, we won't talk about that. R.I.P., buddy. All right. We're all different shades of dirt, and I'm just really digressing today, aren't I? But you're going to remember this, right? I'll do anything to make you remember a sermon point. You're going to remember the one about people. We're all dirt bags. We're all different shades of dirt. Next time you buy makeup, they ask you what color, just tell them dirt. Just make it simple. But really, we're all different shades, and we celebrate those different shades. Amen? We celebrate diversity. It's what makes our church family so interesting. What a boring place it would be if we all looked the same and talked the same and drove the same cars and all voted the same way. Oh, I'm going to get a letter from that one. My email address is Pastor Yareen Collins at us.af.mil. Send all your hate mail to that one. We're all different shades of the same color. We're all shady, y'all. And we celebrate our shadiness. Amen. Again, there's only one race of people, and we're all made in the image of the same God. God created man in his own image, and he created in the image of God, male and female, he created them. I don't know how anybody could read the Bible and be racist, because my Bible tells me that all people are made in God's image. And because of that, all people are of equal value. If you want to teach your child to be racist, teach them evolution. Evolution teaches tribalism. Evolution teaches that one tribe will always try to assert dominance over another tribe, and the other tribes will be inferior to the dominant tribe. I reject all of that mess. Darwinism validates racism, but racism is not compatible with the Word of God. Okay, let me tell you something that's really going to shake you up. Our job as ministers is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So you might be a little afflicted today before you leave, but let me tell you this. If you hate your fellow man, you hate God. Ooh, the Bible says that, y'all. If you call another human being a racial slur, you're not just calling them that name. You're calling God that name, because that human being is made in the image and likeness of God. Uh-oh. James 3:8 says this, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So before you start judging someone based on the color of their skin, remember this, they didn't choose what color they were born, but Almighty God did. And when God created that person, he did not create them out of junk. He took part of himself, and he created them in his image and his likeness. He designed them as a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. And if you hate the person, you hate the creator. Let me tell you something else. There's no such thing as a racist Christian. Whoa. 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 Can't go to heaven with racism and Jesus. It's one or the other, y'all. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, but he who does not love does not know God. You go around hating people, you don't even know the Lord. I let the Apostle John preach that point today. Glad I didn't have to say it. Amen. Point one is people. Y'all remember that point? People. Equal standing, equal value in God's eyes, and it should be the same way for us. Amen. Come on, welcome Pastor Yareen as he comes to teach the word today.
So he said a reverse Oreo, but I say like chocolate and vanilla swirl, right? Because, you know, some people just eat the cream in the Oreo, so, you know, yeah. But, so, PPE, right? People. The second P is going to be perspective, all right? So I'm going to talk to you all about perspective. So can you go ahead and put that first picture up, please? And I want you to shout out what you see in that picture. A girl? A young girl? With the bonnet on? Anybody else? An old lady. Is somebody saying, where the heck is the old lady at? Right? Some of you are saying, where's the young lady at? So if you look at the picture, there's a young lady, and her head is facing towards the back. This is her chin. Her nose is right here. She has a bonnet on. Her neck, she has a necklace on. So you take a look at that, you'll see there's a young lady. But you also look at it, there's an old woman. This is her old lady's chin. Her mouth is here, her nose, right? She has a little wart. on our nose? You see it? So there's two different pictures there, but it depends on your perspective is what you see. We're going to do another one. Go to the next one, please. What do y'all see? Shout it out. I heard a man playing the saxophone and a lady, right? I see a lot of confusion. A man playing the saxophone and a lady. So if you look, there's an eye right here, there's an eye right here, the nose, and a lady's mouth. But if you look at the dark part, there's a guy, his head is up there, his nose, and he's playing a saxophone. Same picture, seen two different ways, right? Gabe, go to that last picture. This is what we're talking about today. We're talking about perspective. You see, one side looks at a situation and says, six, it's a six, it's a six, it's a six. The other side is looking at it going, no, it's a nine. You don't understand, it's a nine, it's a nine. I don't understand why you can't see it. It's a nine. Who's right? They both are. If they would change their perspective, they might see where the other one is coming from. Amen? So this week, with all that's been going on, we've had conversations with leadership, and on Friday I had a talk with my boss, and there was a group of us out there, and he was talking, and he was like, I've been very uncomfortable to ask this question, to say this out loud. And he says, whenever I hear Black Lives Matter, I don't understand it. I do not understand, because in my mind, all lives matter. Every single one of them, right? And I told him, I go, that's true. That it is very true. All lives do matter. But there is a problem going on right now where Black lives are the lives that we need to focus on right now. That when someone says Black Lives Matter, they're not saying all others we don't care about. They're saying right now there's an injustice going on, and we need to focus on that injustice. So yes, Black Lives Matter. And then, if you're on Facebook or any social media, I'm sure y'all have heard the comment of, if a house is on fire, would you just put out that fire? Or would you say all houses matter, so put water on all of the houses? You're like, no, you would put out that one house that's on fire. But let me help y'all out. We're all Christians, so let me put this in a biblical perspective. Luke 15:4-7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who need no repentance. So yes, this verse is talking about salvation. But look at the meat of it. He's saying there's one sheep that's lost. There's one. The 99 are still important. All of the sheep are important, but there's one that's lost. There's one that I have to go out and save. There's one that's outside of the flock. There's one that's out of the protection of the flock. So I need to leave these 99 and save that one. So if you don't understand Black Lives Matter, look at it through this lens. Look at it from this perspective. Of there's all kinds of races that are doing good right now. But right now, there's a Black race that is being mistreated and misjudged during this time right now. So we need to leave the 99 and go help that one. And I had to explain that to my boss, and he's like, I get it now. I understand. And it just goes to show how many people are thinking that same thing, who are sitting here wondering, why you keep saying Black Lives Matter? I do not understand that chant. But we're too scared to step up and say something. You're too scared to step out because you don't know how you're going to be treated, how you're going to be affected, what's going to happen to you. Are you going to, because you say anything, you say something, you say nothing, you say the wrong thing, you say the right thing on social media, it doesn't matter, you're getting yelled at, right? So people are afraid to have these conversations. But we need to open up. We need to be able to have these conversations. We need to be able to step out of our comfort zone and say the stuff that bothers us, because there's never going to be a change if we don't. We're never going to change the race relationship, not only in America, but in the church, if we don't have these uncomfortable conversations. And, you know, there's something else, you know, you always have those talks like, oh, you don't understand. You can't understand where I'm coming from. You don't get it. That is the wrong attitude for minorities to have. That is the wrong attitude for people of color to have towards our white brothers and sisters who are trying to ask the question, to say that you just don't understand. Can a doctor, a male doctor, have knowledge and treat ovarian cancer? So how, if you can say that that's okay, then how come you can say, oh, you just won't understand where I'm coming from? How about you try explaining it to them? Because right now, a lot of Americans are looking at that number on the ground and saying it's a 6. And I don't get it. But if you don't say, hey, look, come here. Let me explain this to you. Let me show you. Let me get this expression out. You know, and I could stand up here for hours just talking about how I've been treated unjustly, how I've been pulled over for no reason, how I've been harassed for being black. I can do that all day long, but I'm not going to. If you want to talk about it, we could talk about it after service. But you need to take people around and let them see, because we are blind to what we're not looking for. We are blind to what's not affecting us. If it's not affecting us, we don't pay attention to it. I don't pay attention to cancer because I don't have cancer. That's not something that I'm concerned with. But I bet you if I get cancer tomorrow, I'm going to be doing all the research on how to fight it. And that's how we need to look at what's going on right now in this nation. And you know, it's going to get uncomfortable now. Because we talked about one side, right? Now we have to talk about the other. You have to see it from both sides, right? What if I told you there's a 44% chance that if you bought a lotto ticket today, you'll win $100 million? How many of you would buy a lotto ticket? 44% chance. 44% chance. All you got to do is buy a lotto ticket. You know, I know I would buy that ticket, right? If I told you there's a 44% of all airplanes, they crash. How many of you would fly? No, right? That's not good odds. You know, 44% chance though, you know, if I buy one lotto ticket and I get $100 million, I don't play the lotto, but I'm playing today. You know? So, black, brown people, you know that 6% of the American population is made up of black men. 6% of the American population is made up of black men. But they make up for 44% of the violent crimes in America. Now, I'm not justifying hatred. I'm not justifying the mistreatment of black and brown people. But when you look at that statistic and you say 44% of black men commit the major crime, then that makes you step back and say, huh, maybe there's a reason why white people treat black men that way. Maybe there's a reason why cops treat black men that way. Because if there's a 44% chance that when a cop pulls you over, he might get shot, that kind of changes your perspective, right? So you have to be able to step around and say, you know what? I get why white people are scared of black men. I get it. I get why cops target black men, because that's majority of the crime there. And I just want to point out, I know, not, you know, and that's a terrible thing to say. It's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to hear. It hurts me, because that's me. You know, I'm not a bad guy. You know, I tried to do good. I tried to do my best. But let me point this scripture out to you. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? A little yeast. Just a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. So one or two bad people are affecting the entire race. People of color, we need to do a better job of policing our people. We need to do a better job of changing our community. Church, we need to do a better job of changing our community. We can't leave it up to the president. It doesn't matter which one is in there. We cannot leave it up to the president. We can't leave it up to governors. We can't leave it up to mayors. We can't leave it up to laws. We can't leave it up to the police. We, as the people in the community, have to change the community. We have to change our perspective. And the only way to change our community, we have to start with us. We can't shout at the government to say, change our perspective. We can't shout at the police officer to say, change our perspective, change your perspective. I have to look at that 9 and say, you know what? That is a 6-2. And I need to change. I need to start making that change in my community, in myself, in the people around me. And I just want to tell y'all about, you know, changing perspective. Have any of y'all heard of Daryl Davis, a man named Daryl Davis? He is a black jazz musician. And he has an interesting hobby, very interesting hobby. For the past 30 years, he spends his time converting members of the KKK. The past 30 years. And over the past 30 years, he's had 200 members of the KKK turn in their robes and say, you know what, Daryl, here, you take them because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, the first one, he tells the story of the first one that he converted. He was playing at a nightclub one night, and afterwards, you know, he sat at the bar and he was having a drink, and a gentleman sat down next to him. He says, man, I've never heard a black man play the piano like that. You know, he's like, what do you mean you've never heard a black man play the piano like that? You know, so they start talking, you know, and he goes, you know what, man, this is the first time I've ever had a drink with the black man. He's like, what are you, you've never had a drink with the, you're 35 years old, I'm only 20, I've had drinks with plenty of different people, and you're telling me? He's like, yeah. He goes, Daryl asked him, why is that? He goes, I'm a member of the KKK. And Daryl's like, no, you're not. There's no way, it's not possible. The guy pulls out his card. I didn't know the KKK carried cards, but he had a card in his wallet. He pulled it out and he showed it to him. He said, I'm a member of the KKK. You know? And so this kind of piqued Daryl's interest. So he exchanged numbers with this man. And they started building this relationship. He started calling him, talking to him and stuff like that. They had dinner together, many meals together, spent time just communicating and loving on each other. One night, Daryl came back to play in that same bar. The man came into the bar, and you know, after his session, they had a drink together again. And this man looked at Daryl. He said, here, I want you to have something. His robes were folded up. His KKK robes were folded up. And he handed it to him. He said, you know what? This makes no sense to me. My whole life, I've lived that black people are inferior, they are dumb, that they don't have any sense. But you completely changed my opinion on black people. By having a conversation with somebody, he completely changed 200 members of the KKK. Daryl said this, if you spend 5 minutes with your worst enemy, it doesn't have to be about race, it could be about anything, you will find that you both have something in common. As you build upon those commonalities, you're forming a relationship, and as you build about that relationship, you're forming a friendship. That's what would happen. I didn't convert anybody. They saw the light, and they converted themselves. You know, we have to be able to have those tough conversations. We have to have this conversation today. And I was telling Pastor this morning, I'm always nervous whenever I preach because I'm expressing the gospel, but today I was scared. I was scared this morning to give this message because it is a hard topic to address. And I just hope you don't listen to the words that we say today, but you listen to the message. You know, because the message is more important. It's easy to take that word and say, oh, he said this, and I'm going to run with it. You know, but listen to the message that we have to say. And we're going to go on to the next point.
Wasn't that powerful? Come on, let's hear it for Pastor Yari, and he preached the hardest part of this message today. You know, what he said about relationships is so true. And that's what I love about our church family. That's what I love about the body of Christ, the family of God, is that we can have close relationships with people of various shades of dirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can be close to people, and you need to have those close relationships. One of my closest friends and dearest brothers in Christ is a guy named Chris Martin. Y'all know Chris Martin. He's living in Florida now, living up the married life. But Chris came in one day, and he looked a little frazzled. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, I was just thinking about a time when I was driving home, and my car had been in the shop, and I was borrowing a friend's car. So I was driving back to my house, been living there 10 years, rolled through a yield sign, going home, and I got pulled over by the police. He said, so I turned off the car, turned on the interior lights, rolled down the windows, and this officer hassled me. He said, you ran a stop sign. He said, officer, I mean no disrespect, but I've lived here 10 years, and I know that that is a yield sign. He said, no, it is not. It is a stop sign, and I saw you run it. And he sit here, and he hassled this guy, an ordained minister, a pastor, an Army veteran, a leader in our community, was harassed by this police officer. And he said, I was sitting there in my friend's car wondering if I'm going to get accused of stealing a car. That opened my eyes that there's a problem with the system, even here in Goldsboro. And through ministry, we've gotten to really know the sheriff's department, the police department. We hosted the carnival fundraiser. It was a great partnership. And there's a lot of really great men and women in law enforcement, but there's still some issues that need to be fixed. And I've learned that through a relationship with a brother in Christ. And it's got to go deeper than just, hey, brother, hey, sister, praise the Lord, see you next Sunday. Break bread together. Spend time in fellowship together. Build these relationships. It will change your life and change this community. You know, unfortunately, so many so-called Christians have hurt the cause of Christ because they've either been silent or on the wrong side concerning racism. I think about Mahatma Gandhi. Anybody heard of him? That's a familiar name, right? Well, Mahatma Gandhi was traveling through South Africa, and while he was on this long train ride, he began to read the New Testament. And as he began to read the Sermon on the Mount, something resonated deeply with him. He said the words of Jesus pierced his heart, and he made up his mind, as soon as I arrive in South Africa, I'm going to a Christian church to see what this Jesus is all about. And he said that he walked up to this church, he walked up the steps, and as he tried to enter the church, two white ushers said, your kind isn't welcome here. So Mahatma Gandhi, one of the most influential people in modern times, he said he rejected Jesus because these people, these Christians, these people of Jesus rejected him. Can you imagine what an impact for the gospel Gandhi could have had? Think about that. There are skeptics of Christianity that like to point out that the Christian churches were historically divided along racial lines, and that's true. Many were, and many still are today. Sunday morning is still the most segregated time in America, but I thank God that's not our story. Hallelujah. While some churches went along with the status quo of racism in America, there have been many churches and many Christians over the years who've stood for what's right. Think about a man named F.F. Bosworth, an influential man in the early days of the Assemblies of God. He pastored First Assembly in Dallas, Texas, and He was on the way back from a revival meeting, and on the way back, he was nearly beaten to death with a 2x4 simply because he preached the gospel to a room full of blacks and whites together. Can't imagine. Even here at our church, we paid a price for standing for the truth. Years ago, the front windows of our building were shot out by the KKK, not once, but twice, for taking a stand against racism. And we're not talking about the 1960s, we're talking about the 1990s. That's why the E in PPE stands for eternity. People, perspective, and eternity. We have to keep our eyes on eternity because that matters more than anything else. Listen, if the devil wants to destroy your life, his number one weapon is selfishness. If he can make you selfish and all about yourself, he can wreak havoc on your life. But if he wants to destroy your family, if he wants to destroy this church, if he wants to destroy this nation, his primary weapon is division. And I'm seeing nothing but division everywhere I look. We're more divided than ever before. And when I look at what's going on, I think about Genesis 34. Genesis 34 is the chapter of Genesis that nobody ever preaches on. Even when we read the Bible, a lot of times we'll just skip over Genesis 34. Okay, but pastors just, they don't like to bring that up. Because it's the story of how Jacob's only daughter, Dinah, was raped. It's a tough book of the Bible, tough chapter to read, and a tough chapter to teach on. Because we had two extreme responses from her family. Jacob had business partnerships with the community where this happened. And he was too afraid to lose his economic ties and his social status, so he remained silent on the issue. He didn't say anything, didn't do anything. But then Dinah's brothers, Levi and Simeon, they go in there with swords and just kill the whole village. They overreacted with excessive violence. Aren't we seeing the same thing right now? We're seeing people who refuse to stand up, who refuse to do anything or say anything, and then we have people on the other end of the spectrum who are responding with violence. And the thing that strikes me about Genesis 34 is that nobody sought God through any of it. Not one prayer was uttered. Nobody got on their face before the Lord. Church, that's the answer. We need to have our faces in the carpet crying out to God. We need to seek God in this season. We need to stand in the gap for this nation. We need to stand in the gap for the people who are being persecuted and unfairly treated. We need to stand in the gap and pray that God would bring unity to this nation. Because we started out 6 feet apart, but now 6 feet has become a great divide. Jesus said a house divided cannot stand. That's why now more than ever we have to stand united as the family of God. Listen, if the world can't do it, I believe the church can. In fact, I know the church can. And we will, in the name of Jesus, we will stand united. Before we close, I want to read a scripture, and this is a preview of heaven, and it's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. This gives us a window into what heaven's going to be like. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, all tribes, all peoples, and all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I love this verse because it tells me that when we're in heaven, we're going to retain our unique cultural identities. We're going to be recognized by our nation, by our tribe, and by our tongue. Yet we're going to all be wearing the same jersey. We're going to be on the same team, in the same family, singing the same song, praising the same God. I can't wait. Can you? Can we do something? Can we just praise God together right now? Will you stand to your feet? Let's just have a little preview of heaven right here in this place today. God, we praise you. Lord, you are greater. You are stronger. You are mighty, and you're worthy to be worshipped. And we lift up your name, the name above every name. And God, we thank you that we are united in you. We thank you, God, that we have the unity of the faith, that we have the power of Christ that gives us strength. Lord, that what's impossible with man is not impossible with you. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you today, God. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that we can experience heaven on earth, God, when we unite together in worship and in praise. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the answer. Help us, God, to focus on eternity. Help us, Lord. God, if there's any bit of discrimination in our hearts, God, if there's any bit of racism in our hearts, if there's any bit of pride and unwillingness to listen, to see the other side, God, forgive us. Cleanse us, Lord. God, we repent of that. We turn away from it and we turn to you today. Help us, God, by the power of your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let's remain in an atmosphere of prayer and worship as Pastor Yareen comes. Thank you, Lord.
I want to give y'all an extra E this week. Exposure. When it comes to taking pictures, it's all about exposure. The less exposure you have when you click that button, the darker the picture, because it lets in less light. The more light you let in when you take that picture, the brighter the picture is, right? And you know, I talked about Daryl Davis, and he said, I didn't convert anybody. I showed them the light, and they changed their ways. You know, just to bring it home a little bit, because it's good to talk about Daryl, but I have a personal experience with this, okay? As you can see, I'm a black man. My wife, she's white. The first time that she took me home to meet her entire family was for her uncle's wedding. So I got to meet grandma, grandpa, cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody. And you know, I'm just being myself, talking to everybody, you know, engaging and stuff. And you know, I noticed grandma and grandpa were just kind of, you know, they wouldn't come up to me and talk to me. So you know, I engaged. You know, but there's a wall there. You know, so I was like, all right, they're not ready. A few months later, she takes me back home. Go see grandma and grandpa. I engage. The wall is still there. You know, it took about 2 years until I saw that wall come down. And on that day, when I went and talked to grandma that day, you know, she came up to me, she had tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way that I've treated you. I'm sorry for these last times that you come here and I wasn't loving towards you. You see, her exposure to black people was very narrow. So her picture of black people was dark. The only exposure she had was from news, from movies, from TV. And she had a dark picture of what black people were. But she told me, she said, I see the way that you treat my granddaughter. I see the love that you show my daughter, you know, Lacey's mom. I see the love that you show to other people. I see how you treat other people. I see the light in you. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way that I've acted. You know, on that day, she told me, she said, I will never again let someone talk bad about you, about your relationship. If I hear someone talk bad about a person of color, I'm going to stop it, because that's not what all black people are about. And you changed that. You changed me. You exposed me to something different. And now I'm changed forever. That's what's important about this time. We have people who are walking around with little exposure. It's our job, not just black people to expose the white people. It's your job to just reach out. step up. Hey, you've never talked to a black person. You never had a drink with a black. I'm not saying go to a bar and drink, but you've never sat down and, you know, a lemonade. We'll say that. You never sat down, had a lemonade with a person that doesn't look like you. Do it. What's stopping you? What's stopping you from going up to someone and saying, hey, I've never ate with a person like you before. Let's sit down and have a meal. Hey, I want to know your background, where you're coming from. Hey, I don't understand the situation. Let's talk about it. Exposure. Expose it. You know, you don't get that exposure unless you open up to it. We don't always, when you're taking photos, you have no control over the type of light that comes in, but you have control over what type of light or how much light comes in. So you don't have control over what type of light comes in, but you have control over how much light comes in. So be that exposure. There's another saying that says, when you're bumped, you know, when you're bumped, whatever you're filled up with comes out. You know, so just imagine like somebody carrying a big bucket of water and it's filled up to the brim. And they're walking and they get bumped, right? And whatever's in that spills out. Over these past 2 weeks, we've all been bumped. What are you spilling out right now? A lot of us has been bumped on social media. Are you spilling out the love of Christ? Are you spilling out hate? A lot of us has been bumped on the streets. Every time I get bumped when I get pulled over, every time I get bumped whenever I feel a racist situation, I don't react in anger or aggression. I say, hey, this person hasn't been exposed, so let me expose them. That's my job. And I put that on y'all. Instead of keeping that narrow, dark picture, expose it to light. And right now, if you're saying, you know, I want to have that light in me so that when I'm bumped, that's what pours out of me. I want that light of Christ to pour out of me whenever I'm bumped in every single situation. Are you saying that this morning, you know, we're just going to say a quick prayer? And I know a lot of us have not been that light. We haven't been pouring out that light. So if you feel like, you know what, I do need that fresh pouring. I do need that fresh fill of God's light. Just say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again from the grave. I turn my life to you, and I ask that you fill me up with your light so when I'm bumped, I pour out your light. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And I just want you to give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Because if that was your first time, if that was your 100th time, your 1,000th time saying that prayer, it doesn't matter. Because you need that renewal. You need that upfilling of Christ. You need that in your life every single moment, every single day. And I know that we've touched on some hot topics this morning, right? Very sensitive topics. But don't leave here with questions. Please, if you have questions, if you have something, you know what, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Let's talk about it. That's what we need this time. We need to stop holding it in. Because this right here, this needs to be the example. This church, not just our church, every church needs to be the light of the world. Because when the church is bumped, we don't need to act like the world. We need to act like Christ. And that's how we win people over. That with race, with religion, with everything, we win people over when we show them the light. Amen.